Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, February 18th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website, absolutely free, at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also go to the App Store and download a completely free and private app, whether it's Google Play or the App Store from Apple. And this app will contain the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game. And in order to download that, all you have to do is type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you click on that, it'll let you download that app. You can also download the worksheet process in a simple PDF file from that website, whyagain.org. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process or called in with testimonials about the benefits of applying that tool in their life on a regular basis. We hope people do that soon and often. Download the worksheet, download the app, put it to use in your life anytime you have upset, anytime you have a negative emotion. Anytime you have a recurring negative pattern that you'd like to get insight into how or why this is happening to you again, and then give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1 on your phone to let us know you have some comment to make or question to ask or testimonial to give. We appreciate when people do that. It makes it far easier to live into our intention with this work. Our intention is to be of service. And if there's any way we can be of service to you through this show, through our discussions, through learning about the various tools that Michael and Jeannie offer, and that the Reality Management Worksheet is just one. It's just the core tool in this work. It's certainly not the only tool by any stretch of the imagination. And if you have comments or questions about any of them, give us a call. Alternatively, you can send an email to Jeannie at Jeannie at whyagain.org, Whyagain.org. Or you can send an email to me, tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. When we get those comments or questions, we will address them on the show when we have time. And if time allows, we'll actually send you an email and let you know what day and time we were able to address your questions, so that if you're interested, you can go back into the archives and listen for the discussion centered around what any comment or question you might have. I've had this comment or question from several people about the webinar that happened last night. It lasted just a little over an hour. And it was a webinar on grief and loss, hosted by the Same Here Global Mental Health Movement and the Chicago Wolves hockey team. And I talked about the process that I use helping people with grief and termination, and I call it saying goodbye to good people without saying goodbye to good memories. And I'm mentioning it now because several people have asked if it was recorded. I'm told it was recorded, and as soon as I get the link to that recording, I will make it available through an email, and I'll let Michael and Jeannie know so Jeannie can put a link in the show notes, et cetera, for anybody who wants to take advantage of that and listen to the recording. You can also go to the website, mindshiftersacademy.org, and prompted by the presentation I was giving last night, I've rearranged the website so that when you go to mindshiftersacademy.org and you're on the home page, or basically any page, the menu now has the home option, and then right next to it to the right is the process for grief and loss. So from wherever you are in that, mindshiftersacademy.org, you can click on that link and go directly to the page. It's a new page I've created that has the first hour of the saying goodbye to good people without saying goodbye to good memories workshop, and then the second hour, and a simple link to click and download the PDF file or read it right there on your computer. So I guess that's all the housekeeping news for now. And unless there's a comment or a question, which we always welcome, about what we've been doing with the Way of Mastery, we're in the process of reviewing the Way of Mastery Lesson 3. And I had left off yesterday just dipping our toe into the section in that chapter titled, How Forgiveness Heals. And again, in this work, the definition for forgiveness is, it's a process by which I identify any negative perception I've created and projected onto my image of someone else, and I dismantle negative perception. So it's a process of me dismantling my negative perceptions, which are always distortions of my image of my brother or sister. It isn't the truth that my brother or sister is bad or wrong. They are just as I am, completely innocent. And when I acknowledge the truth of them, when I'm able to dismantle any perception that brings a negative emotion into my experience, as this chapter says, I move deeper and deeper into the purity of my own consciousness, which is another way of saying I move closer to being able to see life the way the Creator sees the Creator's creations. I will see the shimmering radiance of the creative energy expressing in form underneath any of the images that my perception creates. You know, Dr. Rice talks about this extensively, and he talks about how if you could see what's actually in front of you, you would see energy systems nested within energy systems, nested within energy systems. You wouldn't see a solid body. You wouldn't see a wall. You wouldn't see a car. You wouldn't see a desk. You wouldn't see a coffee mug. The way Michael says it is, he says, you'd see a whirling mass of protons, neutrons, and electrons. But basically, you'd see energy. And you'd see different frequencies of energy. But you've been trained, we all have been trained, to create pictures in our minds as representations of the energy system and as representations of the light waves that bounce off of the energies around us that are able to hit our eyes. And the essence of this work and forgiveness is the understanding that every time I create a picture or an image of someone or something that's less than the glowing radiance of the creative energy, the blissful experience of watching creation unfold, whenever I create a picture in my mind that's less than that, I'll have a tightness or a tension. I'll have a reaction that's a resistance or negative, and that could be used by me as my alarm system to let me know forgiveness is required. The process of removing that false perception is required in that moment if I'm going to have any hope of seeing the truth of life as it unfolds. So if anybody's following along, we're near the top of page 33 in The Way of Mastery, the big blue book, and the heading reads, How Forgiveness Heals. The text reads, Understanding these things, let us look more closely at forgiveness. How does it work? What really occurs when you forgive? You are a conduit of energy. You are a conduit of the creative energy expressing in form. To the degree that the conduit is in perfect working order, the energy can flow so radiantly that the conduit actually becomes transparent. So as much as this is true, you know, we have wires in our houses. We have conduit that has wires in them in our houses and in our buildings. Not because we love wire, but because we want the benefits, the effects of the energy that flows through those wires. We want the light. We want the heat. We want the energy that charges the batteries in our computer. We want the images that flow through the television when the electricity, the energy, flows through those wires and creates changes in the TV screen, the cathode ray tubes, etc. So the essence of what's important is not the conduit. It's not the wire. It's the energy that flows through it. That's the same that's true in life. Me, who I think of as me, Tim, this certain age male adult living on the North American continent with this set of life experiences who, you know, owns this and that, that's not important. What's important is the energy of creation flowing through that conduit. And when I'm functioning properly as a conduit, I only express energies that are clean, clear, pure, compassionate, loving, appreciative, respectful, etc. So back to the text, it says, you are a conduit of energy. To the degree that the conduit is in perfect working order, this energy can flow so radiantly that the conduit actually becomes transparent. That is, it no longer blocks or restricts or contracts to limit, to become a barrier to the light. It is wide open. It allows this energy of light and love and creation to flow through it. The text goes on. When you judge, oh, that's really good. Oh, that's bad. Oh, that could be better. Every time you judge, it is as though you contracted and made the walls of the conduit smaller, just like rust building up in pipes in an old building. And when that happens, the flow of the creative energy lessens. As you forgive judgments, dismantle them, release them, release your identification with them. As you forgive judgments, it is as though the rust in the pipes is dissolving. It is as though the walls of the pipe carrying the liquid of God's love begin to expand and become thinner and thinner and more transparent. Because again, it's not the conduit that's important, it's the energy of love, of creation, of life expressing and unfolding. That's what's important. Judgment is contraction. Forgiveness is relaxation, peace, trust, and faith. Forgiveness allows the spaciousness within your consciousness to grow. For when you look upon the thief that has broken into your home and you say, quote, I forgive you, close quotes, you are decreeing the opposite of what you've learned. You are decreeing that nothing can be taken from you of any value. You are decreeing that judgment is the opposite of what you want, and judgment will cause you to feel the opposite of how you want to feel. When you dismantle your negative judgments, you are decreeing your power to perceive differently. You are therefore healing yourself. If you ever want to come home, if you ever want to come home, you're going to have to become very, very divinely selfish. Michael Rice would say, divinely self-wise. You're going to have to become so selfish that you will not tolerate judgment in yourself of anyone or anything. Because you will begin to recognize that the very such act of judgment catapults you to the other side of the universe from where you want to be. Judgment causes the very cellular structure to break down. If you could see this, you would never again judge. For when you judge, even the cells of your body go crazy. They vibrate in a completely dissonant way. There is contraction. The fluids do not move through the cells. The nutrients do not become transported or delivered to the cells. The waste matter is not processed properly. Everything gets clogged up, and there is dis-ease. Therefore, beloved friends, understand well that judgment is not something to take lightly. Should you then judge yourself if you've noticed that you've been in judgment? No, that would be silly. That is judgment in itself. That is more contraction. That is more creating a feeling that's opposite of what you want to feel. Only love, only acceptance, only surrender, only allowance, only embracing the truth that you've been in judgment can heal. Therefore, when you wake up and realize that you've been in judgment, take a breath. Let the stress release. Let the contraction release. Open up, relax, and say simply, ah, yes, that is that energy of judgment. I recognize that as a cloud that's just passed through the field of my awareness. I don't really like how that feels. It's tight, it's tense, it feels constricted, maybe even painful. But I can choose again. So how does this work? Well, in your ordinary daily life that we now know is not ordinary at all, if you detect that you have been in judgment of someone or something, recognize that that judgment is still with you. It is a very present thing, even though you may have enacted it 5 minutes ago or 55 years ago or even 10 lifetimes ago. When you notice it, bring your awareness to it. You've just made it a very present thing. So it's right there in front of you to be undone. And that is what you need to focus on. Right now, I recognize I'm in judgment. I'm going to choose again. I'm going to release my identification with this judgment. I'm going to release my attachment to the identification that I'm a person who knows how to judge right from wrong. I'm going to release that and choose again. The book goes on to say, you know the experience of looking back in your life and suddenly seeing a scene in which now you know that back then you behaved selfishly and from ego, or that you were manipulative or cunning or hurtful. Or you recognize, oh my God, I was really in judgment of that person. If only I could go back and undo it. We know that you know that feeling. I say unto you, you can go back and undo it, because everything is present. There is no such thing as past and future. There is only the now. So when you have that thought or that memory, it's coming up for you for a very specific reason. As a soul, you are learning about forgiveness, this process of dismantling these false perceptions, these errant conclusions, these projections. As a soul, you're learning about forgiveness and about how to undo the effects of your previous choices. And so it is being presented to you yet again that you might make a new choice. When that old memory comes, stay with it. Look at it. Recognize how judgment worked at that time. And then say to that person or that event, I judge you not. I extend forgiveness to myself for what I have created. I embrace you. I love you. I free you to be yourself. I bless you with the blessing of Christ. You might rephrase this as, I release my negative judgment of you. I dismantle my negative judgment of myself. I choose to see past the negative perception of myself and of you that my mind and my cultural conditioning has created. I'm stepping into the process of forgiveness, which is to dismantle any negative perception of myself or someone else. and choose to see the face of Christ standing before me. Choose to see the flow of life energy, the flow of creation expressing in form. Text goes on to say, then see that image or that memory begin to gently dissolve into light until there's no trace of it left, and be done with it. Right away, the egoic mind says, oh, but when I kicked that little boy in the shins when I was 4 years old just to watch him scream, well, he's not here. Isn't he here? The body is not here, and yet the body is not quite the soul. And we have said this before, all minds are joined. This means that when and where you extend this process of forgiveness within the consciousness, within your emotional field, and you extend that gift to another, you release them from the perceptions and projections you have placed on them, whether they're physically present or not, you're doing in that moment, you're extending to them in that moment exactly what you could extend to them if they were physically right in front of you. Even if they were standing right in front of you, they would still have their own choice to make. They would choose whether to receive it or not. They might throw back in your face, that's a false apology, I don't accept your apology. Everybody makes their own choices about how they create their experience in life. That's what the whole first two chapters were telling us. So focus on the judgment of you that comes up in your mind when you remember something you did in the past that you think was rude or manipulative or hurtful to someone else, and apply this process to it. And don't worry about whether or not they choose to accept the gift you're giving to yourself and to them. Because they still have their choice to make, whether to accept your forgiveness or to remain in judgment of you. That would be their issue and not yours. The text goes on to say, understand then that you are dealing with consciousness. You are not a physical being. You are consciousness. You are spirit. You are the essence of the one mind, a spark of that consciousness. And you are intimately linked with all minds and all times. Therefore, forgiveness of another can occur any time that you decide it can occur. Anyone you have ever believed has wronged you can be forgiven by you in this very moment. And remember, the word forgiveness in this context means to dismantle my negative projections about another person or myself. And I can do that at any time, at any place. Anytime you have judged another and therefore been in judgment of yourself, you can undo that in the very present moment simply by making a different choice. Simply by making a different choice. This next heading, I highlighted it before. Reactivity indicates the need for self-forgiveness. In other words, to apply this process of removing false perceptions within my own mind. And last night, I did this webinar on grief and loss, and there were only two questions at the end of it. One of them was, so how long do you think you might need to do this forgiveness process or this grief and loss process, Dr. Tim? Because part of the process is, I recommend that people have a list of categories that they can review about what they liked and didn't like and appreciated and learned, et cetera, from any relationship that's come to an end. And I recommend that people sit down for at least 20 minutes at a time. You can go longer if you want, but at least 20 minutes at a time, and put one of those categories at the top of the page, and then just let yourself write about it, think about it, respond to it. And so this first question that came was, well, so how long do you think that'll take? How many times will I have to sit down for 20 minutes? And my answer, without quoting, 77 times 70, where 7 is the number of completion, and if you add 0 to a number, it means infinity, and so essentially you have to do it an infinite number of times until it was complete. I didn't pull out that Dr. Michael Rice aphorism. I just said it all depends on how intense the relationship was, how long I knew the person, and I don't set a time limit on it. I just want to stay in the space where I will willingly pick up the tool and use this process anytime I feel reactivity. And I thought about this heading from lesson 3 of The Way of Mastery. Anytime I feel tight or tense or upset, anytime I'm feeling the grief or the loss. And I use the example of how in our family, I lost a nephew, and he was only 10 years old. And that just so happened yesterday when I was doing this webinar, it just so happens to be the anniversary of his birthday. And he would have been 39 years old yesterday had he lived. So we're 29 years away from that loss. And each year I think about him and about my sister and about the impact on the family and remember how my dad fell apart when he lost his grandson, etc. And if I all of a sudden wake up and realize on the 20th or 21st that I haven't even remembered his birthday, I want to be willing to engage in that grief process or the reality management worksheet process to figure out what's blocking me from being awake and aware and sensitive to my sister's loving life and grief process. And so I might pull out that grief process and work on it, and it might happen for another 20 years. And yet at the same time I said I want to just be willing to address anything that comes up, I also said, I feel benefits from this, just like I feel benefits every time I do a worksheet process. I feel benefits from that grief and loss process almost instantly once I begin doing it. So we've had the benefit of somebody raising a hand, area code 513. I'm attempting to open up the microphone. Who do we have?
157.
Area code 513, you're in the air.
Yeah,
you
care yourself.
All right. So 513, apparently you're not listening, so I will mute you again. If you want to say something, press 1 on your phone, it'll take the hand away, and then press it again, it'll put the hand back up. So I was talking about how this heading, reactivity, indicates the need for self-forgiveness. What that says to me is every time I'm in judgment, every time I feel a negative emotion, every time I feel tight or tense, every time I notice, as this book talked about earlier, that my voice is getting louder or I'm speaking faster, I want to be willing to engage the forgiveness process, to cancel my goals and ask to be shown what's behind the set of images that my mind is showing me. What's behind my projecting my upset into my mind's image of somebody else, and therefore coming up with thoughts, intellectual rationalizations for how I'm justified in blaming them for my upset. And this is a lifelong thing. As long as I'm in the body, I want to be aware that if I have a negative reaction, it doesn't mean somebody outside of me screwed up and needs to be punished. It means I have a need for dismantling a false perception in me. Reactivity indicates the need for self-forgiveness. The text reads, "Rest assured, you will continue to project upon others whatever remains unhealed and undismantled, unforgiven within yourself." You will do that. This is the process. Every time I'm in denial, automatically my mind creates pictures of the things around me wearing my problems. Each time you react to another, you are being given a sign that there's some kind of energy that has been presented to your awareness that you have not dismantled within yourself. If someone is critical of you and you react every time they're critical, rest assured, you have not dismantled or healed that part of your own being, that part of your own experience of being critical of others. In other words, I'm still judging myself negatively for times when I was critical of someone else. Each time I react to another, I am being given a sign. I could use every negative emotion I ever experience as an alarm system to wake me up to the fact that I'm not perceiving accurately, that my perception has just created a false picture, and that automatic process in my mind that I was conditioned to by my culture is trying to convince me that someone or something outside of me has caused my upset. I could use it as an alarm system. I could recognize that every time I have a reaction, it indicates my need to dismantle a false perception. Whether this is occurring right now or whether it seems to be a pattern that you have interrupted and that you no longer do, I like to give the example of, you know, if you interact with me today as an adult, you're going to find, if you know how to look for it, that I'm one of the most honest people that you'll ever encounter. And this is just the truth. This is just life, right? It's been a passion of mine for a long time. And so here I am, one of the most honest people I know or that you'll ever know. And yet, sometimes when I'm interacting with someone and I find out they were being deceitful or lying or withholding something, it might happen that I get upset. Well, Dr. Tim, you've got this bottom line observation that says, I'll never be upset about anything anybody else ever says or does or doesn't do that I think they should, unless I'm still judging myself negatively for doing that same or similar thing. So this must be wrong, because you just told us you're one of the most honest people you know or that we will ever meet. That's true for now. But if I get upset about someone lying to me, my mind is showing me pictures that make me think I'm upset because they lied to me, it will be because the interpretation I've placed on their interaction with me in this moment is resonating negative judgments against myself from sometime in the recent or distant past that I have not dismantled against myself for being dishonest, or being manipulative, or being deceitful, whatever the flavor is of the interpretation I placed on this situation. How could that be? Well, it could be this way. When I was in grade school and on up into high school, I tried to be honest as a good little Catholic boy, but I would lie about a number of things, either to try and get somebody to like me or to fit in with a group. And I wasn't very good at it because I was raised by people who promoted honesty, and I just wasn't very good at it. And so at various times in late grade school and early high school, I got caught in some lies, and it was horribly embarrassing. I felt shame. I felt the pain of the embarrassment. And that motivated me to make a change, to say, I'm going to use every bit of energy I can muster to be more honest. And I've been working at being more and more honest with other people first and then myself at deeper and deeper levels ever since late high school. So yeah, today you interact with me, you're likely to hear me say in one way or another, sometimes people say, oh, that was so politically correct. But it's the honest statement, said like a politician, coached in a way to not get somebody upset. But it'll be as honest as I can manage. And at the same time, that's true. If I generate upset and my mind wants me to think it's because somebody else lied to me or withheld from me, that will be because I'm still judging myself negatively at deeper and deeper levels for one of those periods of time when I was in grade school or early high school where I was dishonest or hurtful and I haven't dismantled the negative judgments against myself. I'm carrying them around in my energy system. And if I choose the appropriate or the corresponding interpretation of my interactions with somebody today, that energy will get resonated and will come to my conscious awareness. Now, if I'm not careful, if I'm busy, if I'm distracted, if I've been spending some time lately thinking about, oh, what a fine boy am I, and the great and powerful Dr. Hayes, and I will probably buy the lie my mind tells me that I'm only upset because they did X, Y, or Z, because they were deceitful or they lied to me. That's never the case, and yet I can always create that hallucination. The essence of this work is vigilance and commitment to recognize what the heading of this section says. Reactivity indicates my need to apply the process of dismantling a false perception within me. Rest assured, it says, you will continue to project upon your image of others whatever remains unhealed and undismantled within you. Any negative emotion or false belief and conclusion that I hold will be in me and is available to get resonated whenever I choose an interpretation that's on the same frequency with it. Each time I react to another person, I could use it as a sign that there's some kind of an energy in me, an unpleasant, uncomfortable, disintegrative energy that's being presented to me for my own awareness. It's an energy that I've yet to dismantle within myself. So this encourages us to use our ordinary experience in each day to observe what pushes our buttons. The text reads, we will give you a very simple technique for doing so. And if you stay with it, it will reveal to you the energies that are in need of your forgiveness, of your dismantling. This technique is quite simple. As you go through your day, observe when you feel as though you're in contraction, constriction, tightness, or tension. Are the muscles in your body tight? Is the breath very shallow? Does your voice become faster or louder when you speak about some energy that you sense in someone else? That is a sign that you need to do healing within yourself. Reactivity indicates the need for self-forgiveness. when you recognize that these kinds of signs are going on, in other words, when you recognize that life has presented you with an opportunity to be disturbed, that is a sign that there is something that requires healing within you. Therefore, you could learn to count it as a blessing if you feel disturbed. The healing exercise they offer is turn your awareness from whatever it is outside of you that you think is causing the disturbance and remember the first axiom. I am the source of my experience. If I am feeling disturbed, I need to ask myself, what is it in me that needs to be healed here? I can begin to breathe deeply and rhythmically. I can slow the exhale to initiate that rest and digest response in the parasympathetic nervous system. I can let the body soften and relax, and I can ask my higher self, the great comforter, Holy Spirit, the Christ, I can ask to be shown what is it within this interaction with this other person and their energy system that's really causing my reaction. And you might see it right away. Oh, they're being critical. Criticism pushes my buttons. And then I can ask myself, all right, when have I done that to another? Where have I been critical of others? I might see it right away. Or memories may come back to me, distasteful memories if I'm judging them. But we're asking, we're being presented with the invitation in this work to drop the judgment and let the memories come back, observing them with that childlike curiosity and questioning. Continue to breathe and relax. Look upon the energy that I'm being critical of. Honor it, love it, accept that that's a creation of my consciousness as well. It is one of my creations coming back to me so that I might embrace it and transform it. The invitation is to just stay with it. Just look at it. Ah, yes, being critical. Whew, I sure can be critical. I've been that way in the past. I practiced it a lot when I was at such and such phase of my life. I know that energy very well. Then look upon that scene in my memory or in your memory in which you've been the one who was being critical. Look upon it with deep honesty and sincerity and say to yourself, I dismantle my negative judgment of myself for being critical. I dismantle that judgment of myself, and I choose to teach only love. I choose to extend the love of the creative energy to everyone and everything in my consciousness, in my physical presence and my consciousness in this moment. Then I can watch that image dissolve and disappear from my mind. I can bring my awareness back to the present moment and to this person that I was interacting with, that my mind was telling me they pushed my buttons. And again, I don't need even to say anything to them, although I might. But within myself, as I dismantle my judgment against myself and I dismantle my judgment against them, I release the judgment and attachment to my judgment of myself as being a bad person for having been critical. I release my judgment of them for having been critical or letting judgment make a home in their mind. And I merely ask to be shown, God, light, love, Holy Spirit, Christ, mind, I ask to be shown how I can replace this critical perception, this judgmental perception, with the truth of life, capital T truth. I can ask to see the innocent light within this person and within this situation. And as you cultivate this, you will become very, very good at it. You'll be able to do it as fast as the time it takes to snap your fingers. And once you begin to see the light in them, you can ask Holy Spirit, what is the critical energy in them masking? What are they really crying out for? How could I serve the healing of this brother or sister? How can I be an extension of light and love and the creative energy in this moment? When you do that, you will feel compassion, for it will be revealed to you why they are hurting inside. And lo and behold, instead of being reactionary toward them, you just might be compassionate. Your choice of words and your own behavior might turn out to be very different than you could ever have imagined. For though through you will flow exactly what serves them, the situation, your brother or sister. The text reads, "When I was being nailed to the cross, there was one who raised the mallet to strike the nail. And as he raised the mallet, his eyes met mine for just a moment. I did in that moment exactly what I have described here to you. And by that time in my life, I had mastered this so that it was done very quickly. I asked myself, how have I ever wanted to drive a nail through someone else? And I remembered my murderous thoughts. I forgave myself. I dismantled the negative judgments against myself. And then I brought my attention back to that one who was about to hammer the nail. And I asked only to see the light in him. And I asked, what is it that this action is mirroring to me? What is this action masking within him? And in that instant, I saw that one's soul. And I felt love for that one's soul. I felt compassion for that one. In that moment, mark my words, in that moment of eye contact, that other soul got it. Because my energy was different, it created the space. This is critical. I changed my energy, it created the energy in the space between us. It left an opening in which that soul could make a new choice. Remember how we said earlier in this lesson, the other soul has to make their own choice. They could reject my offering of love and seeing their true nature. They could reject the energy that allows them to choose to see themselves as they are. But because my energy was different, it created the space in which that soul could make a new choice. That soul saw suddenly the entirety of its own experience, and it realized that if it let the mallet fall upon the nail, it would be a decision to choose to continue being nothing more than a doormat for other people's perceptions. And in that very instant, that soul decided to follow a path that would lead to sovereign mastery and never again be a pawn of any government or any group or any faction or any one. That one dropped the mallet from his hand. This was a Roman soldier. He stood up and walked away and disappeared. That one has gone on to become a master that is known by literally thousands of beings. He is not currently in physical form. That one visits many and teaches many. That one is indeed incarnated in perfect mastery and therefore has transcended the world of the physical. And it all began as the result of my desire to teach only love. Now, we have a very good friendship. So you see, you may not know how powerful your choice for healing is. You may not really see how deeply and profoundly it will affect you as you go on being a conscious creator, and you go on forever. You could never possibly know what fruits will be born from that tree of love, extending of the love and seeing another person as they truly are, from the tree that creates in the life of another. But because all minds are joined, when you choose healing through forgiveness, you literally create the space in which the other can also heal their life far more easily. Like the difference between trying to batter down a closed and locked door and walking through an open doorway. I still have to make the choice to walk through the doorway, even if the door is wide open. But if somebody is there with the door open, inviting me through, it's far easier to get through that doorway than if the door is closed and locked. The text goes on to recommend that we let no moment be wasted. Please understand, you could choose to see that nothing is ordinary in your life. You could choose to question all of the perceptions that are taught to you of the world, that you're justified as being angry and hurtful and resentful and negative. You could choose that, and that's what's being recommended here. That's our invitation. You could choose to be wholly committed to rooting up and out of your being anything that is unlike the love of the Christ mind. Please don't think that only special people or saints can do this. That is not true. You are here to extend the creative energy. You are a conduit for that energy. Some might say you're here to learn to love and extend that love as I learned to extend that love. Why would we say that? Because you are that energy of love. Everything else is a smokescreen. This process of dismantling false perceptions is necessary. This process of dismantling false perceptions is a skill and an art that will pay you dividend upon dividend upon dividend. It will never cease paying in you. Each moment in which you choose this process, you choose to see the shimmering radiance of the creative energy rather than your false negative perceptions, you literally saved yourself 1,000 years of suffering. And I mean that about as literally as you can mean anything. In short, every time you dismantle a false perception, it's a miracle that shortens the need for your experience in this dimension. When you find yourself in a situation that you believe is too big, rest assured, this is because something really big has finally come to the surface to be healed within you. Why? So that more power can flow through you, so that the conduit you are can be wider and more clear and translucent, so the energy of creation and love can extend through you more effortlessly. Why would that happen? Because you're ready for it. And more of the Christ mind can be lived and extended through you. So that takes us up to the end of our week. I appreciate everyone who's tuning in. We will be back On Monday, I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you. Hope you have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Blessings.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Friday. And it's February the 18th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we've had some awesome discussions this week, and hopefully we'll end the week up with more. As soon as Michael gets on, we do already have a hand up. And I'll invite you to go to our website, which is whyagain.org, and look around, see the changes. Click on the Start Here button. One of the big changes there is if you click Start Here, I've reorganized the page a little bit so you don't actually have to scroll down so far. It'll pop up, and it has an open block of we suggest that you start by. And it's got a thing in the block. And then below that, there are little like accordion boxes. If you click the little plus mark that's over on the far right side of each box, it will open up. So like the first one says, why is this happening to me again, chapter 24 link. You click the button, it drops down, and it has that within that box. And then there's the PowerPoint and the reality management sheets. If you click that one, there are multiple sheets. We've actually put them on a separate page because there are so many. And then there are special instructions, MP3 radio shows, and then there's the other worksheets, and it goes on down. Now, under the one that says special instruction, MP3s of shows, we have also added, we had a conversation with Doug the other day, and first Michael explained the Aramaic forgiveness process in detail, and then we had a follow-up conversation with Doug. So that whole show is on there as special shows. And then there's also just the section of the explanation of the Aramaic forgiveness. It's 30-some minutes. And that's on there separate, so you'll find both of those. That was from February the 16th. And so we invite you to listen to those, copy the link, pass it on to someone, and just, you know, scroll around and look around and check everything out. Drop me a line if you find something that's not working, and we'll get it fixed. And I see Michael is with us. And, Michael, we do already have a hand up, but welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you, sweetheart. I've actually taken thanks for editing out that 32-minute piece on the explanation of forgiveness. I've posted a couple times on Facebook to people asking questions, and I've gotten some really awesome feedback on it. So it really did come together well, and glad to have the opportunity. So let's go ahead and say hello to the hand.
All right. I believe it's Miss Urata. You're on.
Well, hey there, young lady. We haven't heard your voice in a while. Welcome.
Hello. I did not intend. I think that's what it was happening. I don't know how we pushed it, but we've been enjoying. I guess I can say some compliments about the website, the way it has been rearranged. It's been so easy to navigate. So thank you. Thank you for all the work that you guys put into it.
Well, it's interesting, you know, when the people who advise us on our website about, I'm not sure how long ago, 5 years ago, said, you know, you need to switch over to this system. And at that point, I don't know, I think we had something like 7,000 pages, and we had to go through everything and redo them to another system. And then back a couple of months ago said, well, you know, updates, time for another whole new system. It's like, oh no, you've got to be kidding me. But they did it, and it is definitely a whole lot easier to work with and a whole lot more visually appealing. So moving forward, but it was like when they said, oh, you're going to have to do that whole thing again, it was like, no, we can't do that. But anyway, thank you to Susan, because she actually did a lot of the work, and then Jeannie has just been tweaking it, so pretty awesome.
Oh, wonderful. It's been amazing, and it's so easy to navigate. It's easy to find everything, and it's easy, especially when we refer new people, you know, for them it's easy. Because sometimes when it's too complex, the people just tend to let it go and just not do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you guys look like you've been all over the country, and your trip to Florida looked like it was awesome. And then all of a sudden you went from sunshine to snow. And so I hope all is well in your worlds.
Yeah, indeed. Everything is really good, and I have been enjoying. I actually stopped working at Mitchell, so it was a big step since January 1st, and decided to go on my own. And so this year we're taking it as a more like a decompress and dream and see where it takes me. So it has been amazing doing the Way of Mastery for me, because I am just learning to let it go more and more of who I thought I am, and becoming more and more what Creator intending me to be, just connecting to that energy. It has been profound. And
sweet.
And it's suddenly like reading that book, like your work became having like even bigger meaning and bigger understanding to me. Like it was, I wanted to share just one thing that I thought was very kind of interesting to me. And I don't know if you ever heard of this thing as a term, you know, called karmic maturity.
But, go for it. No, I haven't heard that term.
Right. And, you know, it could be just called different way by different people, but it was like
right.
brought up by one of my astrologers, who was saying how when we pass, you know, our soul then can make a choice and reincarnate in another body, right? So it can transfer into another, in a baby, right? And it takes a different amount of time for the soul to be completely integrated in the new person. So for every person, for every soul, that's going to be a different amount of time. And they say that karmic maturity can happen as early as 16 and average, of course, and as later as 42. And why am I sharing this? So how to understand that better is like you can understand like buying a new computer. So you have your old computer, you feel like you're ready for the upgrade, you buy a new computer, and you connect and transfer all your data into the new computer, right? So new versions.
Right.
So it just takes a little bit of time to download all of that into a new. So what it was interesting to me, like to understand that until you reach your karmic maturity, you can, you know, go it easy about life, just do all of your plays, you know, you don't have your karmic beauty yet up front to you, which is really much for me connected, like the purpose worksheet that we did, you know,
right.
We're really connecting to the gifts that you have inside of you and the things that you love to do. And this is really something that you bring as a gift to the world. So after
yes.
you reach karmic maturity, if you are not on the path, like you can play until you reach karmic maturity, but once you reach karmic maturity, if you are not doing what you came here to do to fulfill your soul's desire, that means you will get gently redirected all the time. And, you know, it might not feel very gentle for some people. You know, you might get fired
right.
from job, you know, because that's not in alignment with your purpose. Or, you know, you might go through a big loss or something like that just to shake you up so you could, you know, start thinking, you know, about bigger and deeper meaning of the life. So I just thought it was kind of interesting to connect those two things together.
Interesting thought. And, you know, congratulations on making that shift into, I know you've been talking since, I think maybe the first time we met about, well, how long am I going to be here? Am I ready to move on? And so that now that's a big step, and holding the space for it to be awesome. And, you know, I don't know if you were listening to the show, but about maybe 2 weeks ago, I've been doing some writing, and I had gotten up about 4 a.m. and I was sitting writing, and all of a sudden it was just like, stop, put it down and listen. And
uh-huh.
it was a download regarding babies in general, but Aria Rain in particular, and recognizing that so often an adult has kind of a plan for a child's life. You know, it's kind of like a container, and
yes,
the child comes in and they try to force fit the child into the container. And it creates distortions. You know, it's sort of the power person dynamic. And so you kind of bring that back in from a slightly different slant. And that, you know, the true state of being, and for me, the clarity and the power and the profound impact of Yeshua telling us that if you want to live in what I hear you describing as karmic maturity, if you want to live in the truth of who you are as a being, that there's a gateway, and you got to keep that gateway open in order to bring that into full expression, in order to really truly incarnate fully in this form. And that if you don't do that, you can hold intentions from being to do something a certain way or to do a certain thing. But if that condition of rachma isn't active, if that gateway for love isn't open, then generational patterns come in, take over, and boom, send us off in another totally different direction that will tend to be, you know, the drama and trauma game. So there's just so much to put together, and you just sort of link that together in a new way for me. So that's cool. Thank you. Good insight.
Yeah. Well, for me, it feels like, in a way, you know, of like what my understanding came upon, like, recently, you know, and I think it was really helpful for me. Like, of course, we're just on a lesson three reading it, but I started putting together, like, some of the things that, like, I did one as blessing retreat, and I did a meditation, and in that meditation, I had a vision that I was there when Jesus was there, when Yeshua was there. And while we were doing meditation to connect with our teacher, and I didn't make much about it. I was like, oh, okay. Well, but, you know, it didn't shift anything within me. And then when Lucy invited me to come to listen to your first time, you know, when the first time I got to meet you at the Lenny's office, you know, and the use of that, all that Aramaic, you know, translations, I shared with you, like, the tears were coming out, and it was just so speaking into my heart how that was landing as a truth for me, the capital T.
Right.
And then, you know, like, I did the works, you know, and it was like, I think this reading the book, it was just like a next level for me. Like, finally, like, I get it. And, like, what it was for me, the awareness came up to, it was to understand that our, you know, different things going to come up into our life as our agreement to move through things for our soul's evolution. But the biggest intention of mine, it is to stay connected to the source. So stay connected to love no matter what. And it's a practice, but just really understanding that empowering choice that we do have a choice. Yes, we don't have a choice, you know, that it might be a tornado and it might be an accident. We might lose someone, you know, you get fired from job, or you choose yourself to leave a job and then you might go struggle. But the point is not about the circumstances. The point about staying connected to the source, which is kind of the purpose why we are here.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not about being perfect. It is a practice. And I feel like once we become really, really perfect, saying we live heaven on earth.
Right on. Well, you couldn't say it in a more powerful way, in a clearer way than that. That's right on track. And one of the things I'm thinking about as I'm listening to your voice and your vibe, your energy right now, is that, you know, the last three or four pictures that I've seen of you and Tom together, it's like, for me, just, you know, kind of grokking the energy of you two together is like a whole new level of integration and sweetness that I see coming out of those pictures. So,
yes, indeed. Yeah, we are feeling so blessed. And it's, you know, of course, having tools, living life with tools, you know, we both are praising and sending gratitude. You can probably feel energetically all the time how we are grateful of having the tools to move through. And sometimes, you know, still meet people who say, like, yeah, but, you know, like, I still legitimately, you know, get upset about this, or, you know, like, I'm moving through this, you know, so this person did it, so, like, it's totally fair for me to feel this. Like, yes, it's your choice to feel all of that, and at the same time, it's a choice of embracing it, like, the way of the heart, that's, like, it really sits with me, you know, trust all things, embrace all things, allow all things, feel all things, and transcend all things. So it means do not click to it. You know, and it's the same two things that are positive. You know, you're feeling all of that and finding that, like, yeah, this is great. And, you know, this nothing is permanent, right? So it's constant change, which brings even deeper gratitude to me, like knowing how impermanent things can be. And, you know, so now we are in a really amazing space as a couple, and I should probably brag about it, that on Valentine's Day, Tom officially proposed to me. Even we had our commitment ceremony, and we have been committed for over 8 years.
Yay!
Thank you. And it was kind of interesting that I was thinking that I would be, like, more, like, uppity and excited, and it was so, like, almost like, well, yeah, of course. It's
fulfilled instead.
Yes, it just felt really content, and, like, it was this, it was interesting that I wear Oura rings, if you're familiar, you know, where they read, you know, it recorded at that time, even I was content, it recorded that I was doing a workout for 15 minutes, which was kind of like, man, did get my heart rate up, but on the outside, I felt really peaceful and calm.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you caught me in a really funny place because we are visiting our friends and playing with their Vesper exercising machine. And it's a very cool toy. And it's you're exercising and at the same time you're cooling. So you have like wraps around your legs, your wraps around your arms and around the neck to cool you off in the seat and the back of the seat. And it is cooling your body down while elevating. So you get a really good interval workout in 21 minutes that gets your heart rate up to like 171. And then you do the cooling bed afterwards. And of course, you know, that's like we're just doing this is our third time doing it. So I bet the heart rate, you know, it gets more into like balance, you know, and it doesn't go as up. Like they had it already for a while, so they said that it's just only for a few first times that the heart goes a little bit higher and then you increase the workout activity. But it's been like amazing, amazing machine. And it shows how it uses, like, well, I don't really know all the logic things. I can send you the link about it if you're curious about it, but it shows
how
you use
it. Oh, yeah, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, how it uses the lactic acid, you know, and it cools everything off. So you're basically releasing and you're not sore after your workout, intense workout.
Interesting. So it moves, it keeps the deep circulation, the lactic acid moving.
Yes. Yeah, it's like I'm
beautiful.
Still, you know, exploring the science, and I haven't dived into it, but I was like, okay, let me try this. And so you got me on the cooling bed, so I was a little bit shaky because, after you work out, you lay on the cooling bed with your legs a little bit elevated, and your body's temperature has to drop. So, yeah, pretty fun stuff. So I don't know how I pressed, but it's good to catch up.
Yeah, I'm glad that the accident occurred. It's nice to say hello and catch up and acknowledge you guys for what you're doing. It's powerful. Sweet.
Yeah. We're looking forward. We have already 3 trips planned, so you'll see more of us playing around and keep connecting deeper to what is our purpose and how to live on this planet, staying connected to love and shine our lights in the world.
Nice.
And
yeah, when you get down to it, go ahead.
I said, and receive the lights of the others.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, when you realize the importance of that, and just the fact that whatever's going on in our world, that I can stay connected to love unless there's something in me that's being resonated by what's going on. And then that's my opportunity to move that out of the way. That's mine, my responsibility. It's my forgiveness work to remove that so that even if that event happens again, I can stay linked and connected. I can stay present as my human life. I can keep love present. It's just, you know, and there's really ultimately only one mistake, and that is to give up that connection.
Indeed. And it's, for me, feels like peeling the veils, you know, like we have these veils.
Right.
Like we have like all these like things that we cannot see it. How is that? And just knowing that every time we get triggered, you know, like I feel like in our relationship, it really helps because we get to practice that regularly and bring that sense of humor and, you know, the lightness. And I think that's another thing that I took from the Way of Mastery, like drop that seriousness about it. Like it doesn't have to be dig the whole like deep work, right? It can, it's just like, oh, look at me. I get triggered by something like this. Okay, what is this all about? And when the partner is there, you know, and we can share it this way, it just, it's like so totally different than, you know, it's like, oh, you make me feel, you know, like old patterns and still like noticing those about it and understanding like, no, we can look at this different way, you know? Like I always say to my friends, you know, or clients, you know, when I work, it's like, you cannot spill coffee out of your cup if you only have water.
Exactly.
That was your example. So if you have coffee, you'll spill coffee, you know? And if you have water, you're going to spill water. And like there is, like I think Guy Finley always says, there is no bad information about ourselves. It's just information.
Exactly.
And the goal it is to keep cleaning up. So it's really any time it shows up, it's like another opportunity to get, you know, another veil out of the way and getting deeper connection to that source. And it's like, what a gift. Why wouldn't we
do
that? And why would... And for me, it's very like, wow, like how in the world, like this world, this work, yours, you know, and Dr. Tim's, you know, and the Way of Madness, there's, you know, or, you know, what was the other word? You know, it's just like many of them are going in that direction. And, you know, our world is not receptive. Like I have heard, you know, like, we try to share this with family and have been called, you know, this new age bullshit, you know. It's like,
right.
Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, it's okay. You get to see it that way. And for me, it's like, it's a choice. Like, it's not my place to try to convince you, you know, or it's not my place to, like, make it, if you enjoy, if this is works for you and you like living in trauma and drama, I guess you get to choose that too.
Exactly. I was reading an article that someone had written on Course in Miracles just this morning, and my jaw just dropped open as I read what this person is saying about the Course in Miracles. They're downgrading and just, I mean, it was beyond comprehension that somebody could possibly believe this stuff is true about the Course. And then the realization comes of, oh yeah, that's right. Well, they're just telling me about what's going on in their minds. They're telling me what their reality structure is about, not what the Course is about. And most people don't know that when they open their mouths, they're telling us about themselves. You know, that's just...
Exactly. The more we talk, the more we share about ourselves. And the more we share how we see the world, the more we share what is going on inside of us.
Yes.
And, yeah. So I feel blessed. I feel blessed that somehow, like, we got connected. And as soon as we make that decision, you know, like, okay, I wanna stay connected too. Like, all the opportunities show up. So we think, you know, that when somebody triggers you, it's not the opportunity. That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
You know,
the good
exactly
news and the bad news.
Fall in. Yeah, it's the good news and the bad news at the same time.
Right. Thanks for another opportunity to learn forgiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at first, you know, maybe it is harder. So if you feel like, okay, you get triggered, you know, you just can acknowledge, you know, it's like, oh, my God, like I'm really upset. And just stay with that. I'm really upset. And then, you know, knowing that it's about me. I'm really upset, and it's about me. And I'm even more upset that it's about me. Because it would be much easier to blame somebody.
Right.
Exactly. But I feel like having tools, it's empowering, it's life-changing, and the more we see the world from that place, the more we keep creating that world, because we're creators. Everything is just energy. It's all just our imagination. So it's like, so our perception, you know, as it shifts, like the whole world, just like Wayne Dyer says, you know, I don't know what you guys are talking about. My world is beautiful.
Everybody's got a reality all the time.
Exactly.
For sure. Well, that's just sweet. I mean, you know, this is hearing what you're sharing is just a total affirmation of what we've been spending our lives doing and why we've done it, and it's what makes
exactly.
it all worthwhile. So it's a delight to hear you sharing it and that you're passing on sharing with others, you know, even in spaces, as you say, like family, where, you know, well,
yeah.
this is not so acceptable, but, you know, that's okay. It's part of the process.
It was really interesting. Like, I was sharing with my daughter recently about – like part of it, she had not a really good day, and I was just like saying her, it's like, well, you know, it's your opportunity to like focus, like, what do you want to focus your attention to? That's what is going to keep growing, you know, so you can focus on, yeah, it's a really rainy day, you know, yes, you know, like there's things are not going well. It's like, yeah, you can keep focusing, or you can say, I'm a creator. Do I want to be creating from this place of, You know, this is not good, and this is not good, and I'm not happy about that. Or you can say, I'm in a really poor mood, you know, but I'm a creator, so I'm going to choose what do I want to create from. And she's like, you know, Mom, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, okay. Well, next morning, you know, I had to text her, so I just texted her, you know, about the business that I had to text her about. And then I said, okay, how is your morning? You know, what are the first thoughts, you know, that cross your mind? You know, it's like, oh, I'm just tired. And I said, you know, is this the place where you want to create from? She's like, Mom, I don't want to play this. I said, I am not creating right now. I said, that's what you think. But you can create either consciously or unconsciously, you're creating it. So if
you
like
can't not create.
Thought, you're ready. Yeah, we are creators by nature, so we're going to create. You can either choose and shift that and create consciously, or you can let your unconsciousness create. And you could just create
exactly.
from the place of I'm tired. And I think finally she got it. And I was like, okay.
And so, you got to keep your head attached.
And I'm not attached, you know. And I, like, at the same time, I get to share, you know. It's like, yep, it's your choice. But,
sweet.
Yeah. It's sweet to practice, because with the family, but not being attached to it, you know, I'm sharing this and you still get to choose. Okay. And if you feel not to be receptive, okay. Maybe this is part of what I have to learn when somebody is not receiving, you know, what I'm sharing.
Exactly. Instead of taking it personally.
Exactly. And if, you know, like if I get upset about it, that they don't listen, well, then it's my work. Maybe they're
exactly.
doing it just for me. Just
yep.
For me.
Maybe they're a fully conscious, realized spiritual being, and they're just playing the game for us, just to show us what our next piece of work is.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's amazing. Life is good. And I'm really grateful for your dedication and years of work. Putting into there, and you know, and all the people who get to take the blessing of that, you know, and expand, because, you know, what a life would be different if everybody would have tools like that, and all the schools would be taught, instead of saying, like, how did that make you feel? How did that boy make you feel when he said this? He says, like, what it came up to you? Like, how can we support you in healing this? Oh, what a gift
exactly.
would be. And, you know, what a gift would be to raise our children, you know? Like, wow. Just like you used to say, you know, like when Arya Rain, you know, would get upset or, you know, something, it says like, oh, you had a choice. You can be upset about it. And And we'll love you in both ways, you know. You know, whatever you feel like you need to stay with. And you don't have to stay there. If you don't like it, you can make a different choice.
Precisely.
Yeah, so having choices is powerful. And to understand that we always have a choice, it is so empowering. Yeah. So, thank you.
Sweet. Delighted, glad you picked it up and glad you're using it, and especially delighted that you're passing it along.
Right.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. And thank you for you and for downloads and new downloads about the babies and, you know, how we truly, you know, try to put them into the boxes and, you know, make them be a certain way and how that society's norms, you know, are pushing into us. It kind of reminds me of that book, if you ever read that, Anastasia, I think that's how it says in English.
Right.
And it was about a woman in Siberia, you know, who, when she got pregnant, she just wanted to have her child in right in there in Siberia. And how she was explaining to her partner who was from the city, you know, when he came to visit, you know, he was saying, like, do not get into the face. First, you know, for a few days, just watch that baby. You know, just see what is the baby all about. And then when you introduce yourself for the first time, you know, let the baby find you. Don't just come, like many times, you know, like as from observation and from experience, you know, it's like we just get in the face and we just cue that baby, does the baby is that. But instead of like allowing that baby like naturally like to connect to that other being. And how she was...
Be the space.
Like, exactly. Leave the space, yeah. And connect at the different level. And that way you could see, because... She was saying, it's like, you brought all these things. You brought the toys and diapers and everything. And the baby was just naked. And she would leave the baby with another animal while she would go and take care of herself. You know, it was just kind of like this unheard things, you know. And but the point was, you know, like, the baby doesn't need diapers. You know, the baby didn't need, you know, all of this, you know, like toys and everything. Look at that baby, how she explores the grass, explores this little bug, you know, growing it, the curiosity that it takes. And that way, you know, the soul can naturally open up versus of like go through years of being put in a box and then has to undo it.
Exactly. We were having a conversation yesterday and, you know, in observing Aria Rain, and, you know, she's now, what, 36, 42 or 43 months. And, you know, she just, unless she lays down to sleep, she just never stops. She's got a conversation going on. She's talking. She's singing. She's just in expression continuously. And we were talking about yesterday, it's like, golly, if they put her in school, all that's got to stop. They're going to say, no, you have to sit down. You have to be quiet. You have to learn this. And they call that education. But it stops that creative process. You know, I mean, I'm just observing that firsthand with her. I mean, she just is in one continuous play, conversation, singing mode. And we were actually, her dad was here for breakfast this morning. We've been sort of hinting about how we really want to homeschool her. And I was saying, you know, notice, and he's, yeah, she's just on goal. And it's like, and if you thought about the fact that if you put her in school, all that is going to be stopped. They're going to tell her to shut up and sit down. And then they're going to say, now, here's what life is about, because, you know, we have to turn you in the next, you know, 12 or 14 or 16 years, we have to turn you into a good commercial servant. So here's where we start. Shut up, sit down, and listen to this.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what a travesty.
And
so anyway, we're...
of being themselves, being connected to the source, they get punishment of them being themselves. You know, being who they are and moving and acting and, like you said, and singing and just playing.
you know, you're not supposed to do that, so you get punished, and it makes no sense. And we break these beautiful souls, you know, and like you said, teach them to be a servant of this new, of the system. This is exactly what it is.
Yeah, there's an interesting, we've studied a little bit about education in the system of Montessori, where at least there's, you know, a space for the child to direct their own learning process. In Montessori, they don't have a curriculum where, oh, the child by grade one has to learn this, and by grade two has to have this skill, and grade three has to have that skill. But rather the environment, what they do is in Montessori schools, they have several different environments. They have a math environment, a history environment, a geography environment, what have you. And they just follow the job of the teacher is to follow the child's lead. When the child indicates, oh, I'm ready for geography, bingo, into the geography environment they go, and they learn it in, you know, in minutes, that if they took a child and wanted to teach them that much geography when it's not what they call their sensitive period, they could spend months and years trying to force it down their throats, and then that'll be one of those subjects they'll always say, oh, I hated geography in school. But when a child is ready for math or geography or science or whatever it is, and you put them in the environment and it's exploration and learning, it's just a whole different process. And it's, you know, the culture has just gone so far off the rails, so wacky.
Well, you know, they do have a different goals, right? And they're doing great according to their goals. And they created a system where we need, you know, need prisons and we need all of that. And it's like, but yeah, it's like, it's true. It's, they're creators too, but it does not look like they're creating from the place of love. They're creating from the place of control and use, and they're creators too. And we can live our dream.
Exactly. Part of the download that I got last week around this thing of, you know, the baby coming in and not creating a container for them or having a container to force them into was that in order for me to be able to do that, I have to hammer out all the dents and creases and cracks and crevices in the container I was forced into. You know, as an adult, I have to go back and do that work so that I can just literally be the space that supports the child in creating their own container, whatever it's going to look like. And to do that, I have to do my work first. So it's, you know, and then that becomes the, to me, that becomes then the generational gift that that keeps on giving.
Yep. So true.
Well, we've got
go ahead.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'll, okay, it's a delight to say
down.
Hello. And
me too.
Okay. All right. Okay. Lots of love and blessings.
Have a great day.
Delight to talk with you. All right. Bye-bye.
Indeed. Bye.
And we were talking about life without tools, and so I opened the file that I've got in the front of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? There's a page titled Life Without Tools, and it compares several different areas, and so I just was inspired to read that as a result of this conversation. So if you've got the book, you can go into the first few pages, and there's that page, Life Without Tools. And the first one is, Life Without Tools is Sleep and Hell. Life with Tools is Awakening and Delight. Information without tools is impotence. Information with tools is power. Power without tools is dictatorship. Power with tools is service. Relationship without tools is codependence. Relationship with tools is interdependence. Knowledge without tools is dangerous. Knowledge with tools is safety. Commitment without tools is hopeless. Commitment with tools is a blessing. Abundance without tools is loss. Abundance with tools is easy. Tools is impossible. Health with tools is natural. Learning without tools is chaos. Learning with tools is education. Ambition without tools is corruption. Ambition with tools is accomplishment. A world with tools is peaceful. A world without tools is war. Having tools and not using them is life without tools. Having tools and using them leads to aliveness. And so when you look in each of those arenas and the change, the shift that it makes when you've, you have something is the simple tool of forgiveness. You know that if your mind is outputting something that is trauma-based, that there's a tool for removing trauma so that you can make the very event that yesterday without tools was horrific and, you know, life-crushing, et cetera, the very same event becomes an opportunity to open and expand truth of being. And it's interesting, in the Aramaic language, where they talk about what's been framed as the kingdom of heaven, first of all, it's properly translated, that kingdom of heaven idea is properly translated as the community of love. And it also translates correctly that the kingdom of expansion is within, that it's this expanding perspective that we have rather than the world of fear where it's about contraction. And so moving into, when they say seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, it's seek ye first, one, the community of love where you can expand into the truth of who you are. It's like breaking out of the container. And so when I hear you, Yerate, just sharing what you shared and where life was somewhat restrictive in the job that you had and the work you were doing and, you know, the things that went on there. And I just hear you expanding and growing and moving and, you know, and it's awesome to watch both of you playing that game together. So fabulous. And Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody else in the phone queue with a hand up anything happening in the chat room? Well, great. Let's say hello.
541, you're on the air. I think this is Celinda.
Yes, it is. I am just so delighted hearing Yerate be on the shows, both shows, because I, too, am following the way of mastery as well as your show. And her sentiments about what is opening up for her is precisely, oh, I can't say precisely because that's her path, not mine, but I resonate totally with what I am experiencing by having that perspective alongside your perspective. They just speak of the Aramaic gospel so eloquently using their own cultural context and languaging. Larry and I are also reading a book called Open Focus by Aless Femi, and it's about attention and awareness. And
right.
I was reading it with him last night. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. I had started to read it many years ago and then just put it aside. And then we were looking for something to read together. So I said, what about this one? He said, okay. So we started it and I thought, oh, my goodness. This is the Aramaic gospel in scientific language.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Oh, my goodness. And it's about the difference between a narrow focus and a wide focus. And it's just like the brain cells are just popping right and left. I feel like I've got popcorn for brain cells at the moment. And so we've been looking at that. And the impact of that, and the book comes with a little CD in it. So if one were to buy the book, get the library book first to discern that. But I would suggest just buying a new copy because most often when you buy used copy, the accessory materials are missing. And so I looked at that, and then this morning I got this amazing download because I had been wrestling with the topic that I told you about before, how can I best serve myself and other in this uncomfortable situation. And the last two or three days of Dr. Tim reading the Way of Mastery section of Chapter 3, and then your and Jeannie's counterpoint to that with your show, what I came up with this morning was, which I am assuming is a download because it just popped into my brain, is that the pathway that Yeshua took for his own coming home is not my pathway. The way is my way, but the pathway is uniquely his, and my pathway is uniquely mine. And there are times in our sojourn with the fellow travelers of the way where we do come to a Y in the road, that trivial place of Roman times. And since trivia means the Y in the road, they were very commonplace, that we have to look, that we have sometimes a need to look at each other and say, do we continue journeying together or do we bless each other and begin to journey separately? That way we disentangle each other from having to walk our pathway because we feel it's the right pathway for us, or we are sensing it as the truth with a capital T for everybody, and that's the way. And I think that's what the Greeks did with the life of Yeshua and his dying on the cross. They just transferred it over and said, oh, the purpose of our lives, if we are to follow Yeshua, or Jesus, as they said, is that we're supposed to have a life of sacrifice. Because they didn't understand the fact that Yeshua said, I chose that. Sacrifice has nothing to do with a choice. It is a sacrificial lamb has no choice. But I, before I even incarnated possibly, made that choice. It's a life that I want to experience because this is what I want to learn. Whether he discovered it during his lifetime or during his choices, or whether he already had a plan in place and he could have always bailed at any point would be my perception, but he continued to choose the commitment of going forward. And to me, I went, oh my God, that takes the pressure off, because spirit, Yeshua, Rahma, all of those tools that have been given to me at creation, however I choose to define them, are always allowing me to create my own pathway and waiting for me to invite them to co-create with me. Does that make any sense, or am I just...
It makes perfect sense. For me, what you're describing is the download that I was just sharing once again of, do we force the child into a container? The adult has, oh, this is how this life is supposed to go, so we've got a container, and we're going to kind of try to pour that child into our container. Or do we provide the child a space of active, present love and support where they formulate and form their own container, their own modem of expression? And what was the name of the author of that book on open focus?
Les Femi, F as in
Frank. Okay, got it.
M as in Michael. You know that
yeah.
one. I.
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, I actually, in our intuitive development intensive, we do an exercise that I call open focus. So I hadn't heard of this fellow, but you know, where, you know, your eyes are rather than centered on the little tiny spot, like it's very, where we actually have high resolution sight is just a little tiny spot in front of us. The rest of it really isn't focused. And rather than paying attention to that, to just really be able to open to take in a wider breadth of information and be more available. So I'll look that up. It sounds like it'll be an interesting refinement. If we've got somebody who's spent their life studying it and working with it, that's cool.
Right. And also, I just flashed on when you were speaking about the child, how we try to make the child conform, is within the context of our relationships with each other, even as adults, we do the same thing. I do. And it's like revelatory. Look, there is a child in every one of us, no matter how powerful we are or how weak we are or whatever one would project onto another person or judge about another person, we are still innocent children crying out to be comforted, to be healed.
Inner sense.
Inner sense.
Inner sense, yeah. That's what it takes.
And so, yeah, and one little other thought that I would like to hinge on that because it's related is now I'm beginning to look at what's going on out there. And I'm saying, you know, everything is in divine order. Everything is in divine order. And my job is to look for love, every nook and cranny of this mess, that I might recognize it so that I can confirm for myself that everything is in divine order and that I'm a part of creating that. So where am I going to put my focus?
I would offer maybe just a slight refinement to that thought, and that would be, how do I experience myself rather than looking for, because in the words of, let's see, I think it was, I forget who the theologian was, but what was said is, what you're looking for
is, looking
is
for
what
you.
Is looking. No. What
oh,
you're looking
really?
For
that
is what is looking.
Look.
What you're looking for is what you're looking for is what is looking.
Looking.
It's being that space of active present love, not trying to see if you can find it out there, because it's not out there. It's in here, first and foremost.
Right.
And then
good
once
idea.
You connect to
that,
then it's omnipresent.
Oh, yeah. I get it, Michael. And that's what I'm doing, disengaging my identification, which I like to hyphenate that word to I-dent. Hyphenification.
Yes.
What am I marking myself up with? Whose
exactly.
mark do I have on me?
whose container was I forced into, or did I feel like I had to fit into?
Right.
Sweet.
Right. Well, thank you, and I am so excited to hear from Jurate, and to because
me too.
She and Tom have been on my mind, and I'm just so thankful for them and for what they're learning as I get to share in that process with them in my own life.
Sweet. Sweet. Well, joining you in the process, young lady.
Well, just keep saying young lady, would you, so I can manifest that in multitudinous ways for myself.
Cool. Well, you know we're on your team and holding the space for it, and appreciate the fact that you're out there holding the space for our expansion and, you know, making it available on a global level, you know, making it available quite literally to every mind, heart, and being on the planet.
Cool beans.
All right. Well, anything else on your mind for today?
No, I'm just feeling overflowing at the moment with all kinds of positive feelings. So thanks to you.
Sweet.
And Jeannie, and blessings, and we'll talk to you again.
Delighted to be on the team. Appreciate you. Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Or as a friend of mine said recently, blissings.
Blissings. Oh, I love it.
Blissings. Yeah. Let's live in the bliss. Go. Let's stay in that connected space.
Go for it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love it. You know, the Beatles song with a slight twist comes to mind as I'm just tapping into the energy of those last two conversations. And really, the you look at the strife and the conflict that's going on in the world, and here's the Beatles talking about, oh, look at all the lonely people. And then we have the alternative of stepping into the truth of who we are and literally erasing all of that and recognizing that the word forgive is, in fact, erase. It's removal of what never belonged. So delighted to be sharing the space with each and every one of you. So, Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody else out there in the with a hand up? We've got about 5 minutes left.
No, we don't. So we've got time. If somebody presses one real quick to go over one more topic.
And or do you have anything on your mind, anything to share? You know, just this this sweet space that we have. We've got Ari Rain with us again today. And, you know, one of the fun things that I usually say to Jeannie just about every morning that Ari is going to be here is like, well, I wonder what wonders she's going to bring to us today. Just what, you know, what sweet, neat, exciting, unexpected, blessing is she going to bring to us today. And so we are certainly.
Well, she came in this morning and I had gotten up just a little bit earlier and actually had kind of fixed my hair and put a little makeup on or whatever. But when she came in, she was like, oh, you look awesome. It's really sweet.
You even have lipstick on.
Yeah, that's what she added.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. There's nothing in the house that changes that she doesn't instantly go, oh, something's different. Look, oh, it's pretty amazing to be with her open focus and yet her ability to just drill right down on something, you know, like when she's ready to create a tea party for her dolls. She's totally, completely laser focused, and that's it. And it's interesting to observe her, you know, with all the different things that she has to do, that she knows energetically exactly how long she's going to be with something. Like, you know, we bought a really cute book. It's a table book that you can stand up, and it's kind of got it folds in its own stand, and you flip pages and it's got these just this crazy artistry, you know, like a cartoonish type artistry that's just kind of wild and out there. And then different words, like big words, you know, adult words, words for, it's actually a book about increasing your vocabulary for telling stories. So we put that on the table every morning and she loves it. And when she's finished with it, it's like, okay. And it's like that with everything, you know, she's ready for this. Like oftentimes we'll come in and we'll sit and watch something on TV and it'll be, you know, she'll maybe be 6 minutes or 12 minutes or 18 minutes. And when she's finished, it's like, okay, we're finished. It can be right in the middle of something. And when she's finished, like, you know, she knows when her energy's done with something and she's ready to do something else. And it's just sweet and amazing to be part of that process. We are so, so blessed. I was actually talking to a friend the other day who's a physician and has not had children or grandchildren or been around children very much. And I was just mentioning something about AR and he said, yeah, he's like, I've gotten so many gifts from the stories you told me about Aria. Like, I feel like, you know, I have a granddaughter now and the gifts of that are just most amazing. Of course, one of the, visions we have for this work in particular is that of impacting the world in a way that makes the world safe for these young girls that are coming in. We've got 3-4 granddaughters now, and that the world is a safe place where they are honored as human beings, honored as young women as they grow. And when they grow into relationships where they're nurtured and cared for and supported as beings, rather than the culture's focus on a world of bodies and usury and such. So we have lots of reasons to keep moving and bringing this forward, and we're delighted that you're here to be part of the conversation. We hold the space for you to have the best year yet of your eternal life, and thanks for joining us. Blessings. Consciously, evolving continuously.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.